Well, good morning. It's great to have all of you here today. It's great to have everybody with us online. And before we jump into God's word, would you pray with us? Father God, we do thank you for the privilege of being able to gather here this morning, whether it be online or in person. Lord, we know that wherever two or more are gathered, you are there. And so, Lord, we know that you're here. We know that this ground, whether it's basements or bedrooms or living rooms or couches, Lord, that is holy ground now because you're there. So, Father, thank you that you are here and that we get to be here. Father, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, you know each of us, and you know what we bring in. You know the struggle, the pain, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the doubt. You know it all. And so, Lord, I pray that we can leave it here, leave it at the cross. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would not only just hear what we would do. I pray, Lord, that you would clear our mind and our hearts of the clutter of this life, and that we can see the bigger picture, Lord, which is you, which is the redemption that you offer us. Because, Lord, we're all sinners, and Lord, I know my sin, and you know my sin. And Lord, I pray that despite that, I could just be a vessel, a broken vessel, that your Spirit would speak through each and every one of us. Father, we so desperately need. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. So let me ask you this. Why are you here? No, really, why are you here this morning? Why am I here? Why are any of us here? I mean, let's be honest, who's rather be sleeping? Would you rather maybe be shopping or maybe having brunch with family or friends? Maybe there's some yard work that you wanted to get out and do. Maybe there's some work in the office that you want to do. I mean, why would you get up early on a morning that you could clearly see it? And why would you come to a bar that doesn't serve alcohol? I mean, maybe you get up early if you went to a beautiful brick building that had beautiful white steel. Maybe then you would get up this early. Just the fact that you're here and online makes you an exception to the rule. Because most people that identify themselves as Christians would tell you, I don't need to go to worship to be a Christian. My faith is private. It's between me and God, and I don't need to be with a group of people in order to follow God. So then why do we need to gather? Why do we even need to be here today? As we continue on in our Why Sermon series, we talk about why we sing, why we tithe, why we serve, and why we need the Bible. Today we're going to take a look at why do we need to gather together as the people of God in this thing called worship. So we're going to take a look here this morning. If you've got your Bibles, we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, and we are going to be looking at verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through 25, it says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on for love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, whenever you read in Scripture and you jump into the middle of something and you see the word therefore, you have to say, well, therefore what? So to kind of summarize, I want to make sure we understand what the author is saying. We don't know who the author is. We believe that it's Paul, but we don't know who it is. Therefore, references back to the author saying that Jesus Christ is greater than angels and greater than the Mosaic law. That's a big therefore. That's a big argument to make, to say that this man named Jesus is greater than angels. And we can get into angelology all we want. But angels had a pretty significant place in the minds of people, and greater than the Mosaic law. Remember, the audience that would be receiving that would be very well heard. The Mosaic law from Moses. Satan. And so what the author is saying, therefore, if you are going to believe the greatness of Jesus, if you are going to believe that Jesus is greater than angelic beings, if you're going to believe that Jesus is greater than the Mosaic law, then you're going to be persecuted. People are going to look at you funny. People are going to question you if you say Jesus is greater than. And today in our world, if you believe that Jesus is greater than, and fill in the blank here, if Jesus is greater than your child, if Jesus is greater than how you use your time and your talent and your treasure, if Jesus is greater than anything or anyone else in your life and in this world, people will look at you funny. And people may even persecute you. So the author, knowing that those people were saying that Jesus is greater than, he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to encourage them in the midst of living a life that says Jesus is greater than. He sounded encouraging. So there were three ways, three times, three phrases that the author encourages his listeners. And he says, let us. Three times. And I want to go through those. He says, let us draw into the presence of God with confidence. He's saying, look, one of the reasons why it's important for you guys to continue to meet, to continue to gather as a group of people who says Jesus is greater than or more than anything else in my life is so that you know and can have confidence that you can come into the presence of God. Coming into the presence of God. I mean, think about that for a moment. That would be such a foreign concept to Jews. They could not believe that they can come into the presence of the living God, the holy God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. They get to come into the presence of God. It would have been a very foreign concept. See, back then and even today, people all have a way that they think, oh, I know how to get into the presence of God. For some, it was following the law. For others, it's being a good person or being moral or being religious. Everybody thinks they know the way into the presence of God. And Grant said it so well this morning, there is one way, one truth, one life that allows us to enter into the presence of God. See, understand that most people understood that the only person that could come into the presence of God was the high priest, and he only got to do it once a year. He would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle blood over the ark, and that would be an offering not only for his sins, but for the sins of the people. And now, what the author is saying is, you get to come into the presence of God, and you get to do so with confidence. That you can walk and stand in front of God. Now, what do you think about that for a minute? Do you have confidence that you can go and stand in the presence of God on your own merit, on your own character, on your own words, on your own thing, that you can stand before a holy God? You know, confidence is a funny thing. When you have confidence, it's amazing the things that you can do in life. We see it when kids have confidence in themselves. We see it when adults have confidence in themselves. And we know what happens when you don't have confidence in yourself. But to have the confidence that you can go and stand in the presence of God. I never had confidence to go when I was called to the principal's office when I was a kid. And I was called there a lot. I could never enter into the presence of the principal with confidence because I knew I was guilty. I knew I was going to get in trouble, and I knew I deserved it. That's sometimes how we feel. I can't stand in front of the presence of God because I'm guilty and I'm wrong. But because of Jesus, we come into the presence of God. Now, we can come into the presence of God despite our imperfections, our flaws, our failures, our shortcomings, our mistakes, all the different things that we struggle with. You and I get to come into the presence of God despite failing because of what Jesus did. That when we put our faith in Jesus, we can do that. Have you ever been waiting to get into maybe a restaurant or a movie or a club or a bar like this? And there's a long line. There's a long line. And you think, man, this is going to take forever. And then did you ever see somebody kind of just skip the whole line? And they get to go right to the front? And look at them and say, who are they? They must know somebody or they must be somebody. You don't get to skip the line. But you know that because of what Jesus did, you and I get to skip the line. We get to skip the line of trying to earn our way. We get to skip the line of being religious enough. We get to skip the line of being good enough. Jesus says, I'm going to escort you right into the presence of God. When we put our faith in Jesus, we get to skip the line that so many people See, we can't come into the presence of God based on our own character or our own merit. As wonderful as all of you are, it's not enough. That's why Jesus says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them, plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. It's about faith. It's about putting your faith in Jesus. It's not having confidence in you, it's having confidence in him. And say, my confidence is not in my own ability and my own works and my own doing. My confidence is in Jesus because of what he did. The author says that there was a curtain that was torn. Had to be torn from the top to the bottom. The curtain separated the holy of holies from everything else. And that curtain was torn. It was taken down so that now all people could have access to the holies of holies, which was the presence of God. That curtain was torn in the body and blood of Jesus so that you and I could enter into the presence of God. Did you ever see when they have the red carpet set? Like you're in a movie premiere, and everybody walks through a red carpet. And you get to kind of usher yourself in. We get to walk the red carpet with Jesus. Jesus doesn't just point the way. Jesus is the way. He takes us into the presence of God. See, you can have confidence to draw near to God. I'll give you two reasons why. Because of the shedding of the body and blood of Jesus. You don't have to be good enough to get into the presence of God because you're not. So we can get into his body and his blood. And secondly, because he's the great high priest over the house of God. Jesus is the bouncer in the door. Okay, a lot of people try to show up with fake IDs and say, hey, you gotta let me in. You gotta let me in. Jesus can see a fake ID a mile away. He's the one at the door that knows these are the ones who put their faith in me. And so what does that faith look like? It means you have a sincere, sincere heart in your faith. It means that your hearts are sprinkled to cleanse you from guilt and that your bodies are washed. See, to have a sincere faith, you know what that is? It's fully submitting yourself to Jesus. It's saying that therefore, Jesus is greater. It's not, well, Jesus is greater, not greater than my job, not greater than my kids, not greater than my spouse, not greater than my past. It's Jesus is the greatest thing, and I submit myself to his authority. He's the authority, I'm not. That's what full submission looks like. See, I can't stand that bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. We are not co-anything with God. He is God, and we are not, and a sincere faith is fully submitted to him. When it says that our hearts are sprinkled, that means that we have accepted the forgiveness that comes through a relationship with Jesus, and you don't have to carry around that guilt. I don't know about you, but I carry around a lot of guilt. Anybody else ever carry around a lot of guilt for sin in life? You don't put your hand up in my hand, I'm telling you right now. We all do. But see, when we accept Jesus, we can give that to him. We've been sprinkled by his blood. We don't have to carry around the guilt of failure after failure after failure. And when it says that we get to be washed clean, that seems like baptismal language, but remember, baptism is a two-step process. It's the internal accepting of Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and then it's the external proclamation, I am a follower of Christ. There's nothing magical in the water. It's in the Holy Spirit, that it holds of your heart. And because of that, we can draw near to God with confidence. So the first reason why we gather for worship is to be reminded that we are worthy to gather. We are worthy to come into the presence of God through Jesus. Because if we don't come to worship, we're going to keep trying to earn our way into God's presence. You know, when you hear the gospel, and most times when you hear the gospel proclaimed in church, you have two responses. Number one, you can reject it. You can say, no, it's not for me, I don't believe it's too hard. Or you can begin a journey of belief and hope and transformation. Those are really your only two kind of ways to be. And so that's what the author's talking about here. He says, gather together, one, so that your faith will grow and you know that you are worthy to come into the presence of God. And the second reason why we gather for church is so that we can be encouraged in the hope. We need hope in our world today. We need hope in our lives today. And the place that you find hope is here. You find hope when you gather together with the people of God with the purpose of praising God. You will not find true and lasting hope in our world. And yet we keep looking for hope in all of the wrong places. are looking for disappointment. There is hope in Jesus. Now the author here says, hold on to the hope that we profess. We don't know what that profession was, but maybe perhaps it was Jesus is Lord. Kind of connect back to that therefore. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is he Lord of your problems? Is he Lord of your prosperity? Is he Lord of your life? Is he the hope that you need? Now, the readers of this letter, they would intend to turn away from Jesus and turn back to easy believer. It's hard to be a Christ follower then, and it's hard to be a Christ follower now. And if you're like, man, this is harder than I think, yeah. It's hard to follow Jesus, but the reward outweighs anything that we can suffer in this life. And look, we live in a world that can seem hopeless. Every time you turn on the news, there's one more thing that makes you shake your head. One more thing that makes you say, what is happening in our world today? And you can go down the rabbit hole and feel hopelessness all of your life. And that's just in the news. And yet we all have situations in our own life, relationship, things that we struggle with, sin that continues to be in our lives, and we can feel hopeless. But there's hope, my friends. There is hope in Jesus Christ. And yes, it may be hard to find that hope in a world that denigrates Christ, his teachings, and his followers, but that doesn't mean that the hope is not real. See, we gather together. It's so important for us to be in worship together so we can be encouraged in hope. You're not going to find hope in the world. This is where we find the hope to get through the next day. This is where we find the hope to get through every day. It's in his word. And the author uses a really cool word. He says, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. First, I want to challenge you. Use the word unswervingly in a sentence this week to somebody. But what does that word mean? It means that it's not changing, not becoming weak, becoming steadfast and strong. Hold on to the hope of Jesus. Hold on to the hope that God gives us in Jesus. Look, the author here is addressing a very big problem. It's not just in our world today, it's not a modern problem, but it's a problem from the beginning of the church, and that is a lack of consistency. This is not a modern day problem. This has always been a problem with the people of God. And the author says it like this. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We can be hardened by the false hope of the world. We can be hardened by the world. And see, when we stop coming here, we stop gathering for worship, we stop finding hope. Or we believe that we can find hope within ourselves. Or that we can find hope in the world. Or we can find hope in some self-help thing. This is the place for hope. It is the hope of the gospel. See, we gather together for worship so that we can find hope. And whatever you're going through, I promise you, you will find hope in God's word. You will find hope when you are gathered with like-minded people, all of whom are imperfect. Sometimes when you sit at church, you say, I wish I had their life. I wish I had their marriage. I wish I had their kids. Well, you don't. You don't. Everybody's looking side to side. Look, we're all a mess. We're all a mess. Everybody's a mess. And as good as you think somebody has it, they're a mess. Because you know you're a mess, and somebody's looking at you saying, man, they've got it all together. See, this is where we find hope. We find hope in a hopeless world. You know, hope is for everybody. Hope isn't just for certain people. Hope is for people who are lost. I don't know about you, but I was lost at one point in my life until I found hope in Jesus. There are a lot of people, if you live next to them, you work with them, some of them are in your family, they're lost. They need the hope of Jesus. And where do they find that hope? They find it with the people of God as they gather to worship. Hope is for the broken. Hope is for people who have been broken by the sin in a fallen world that has impacted their lives and the lives of those that they love. Hope is for everyone. Hope is for those who have lived apart from the gospel and lived against the gospel. Paul lived against the gospel, but he found the hope of Jesus on that road to Damascus. Hope is even for those who persecute the faith. Hope is for the widow. Hope is for the orphan. Hope is for the lonely. Hope is for the marginalized people. Hope is for all people. There is no people group believe, no matter how they think, that are outside the hope of the gospel of Jesus. And that is why it's so important that we live in a manner that shows people hope. And say, we get our hope when we gather together with other imperfect, flawed people. People who are a white-hot mess, but we are all seeking our hope in Jesus. See, we gather together to have our faith strengthened so that we can enter into the presence of God with confidence. And we gather together so that we can be encouraged to hold on to that hope. Friends, I hope that you are holding on to the hope of Jesus. Some people go through their life saying, I'm just holding on. Good question. Hold on to what? We're all just holding on. If you are a parent of children, you are just holding on. But holding on to what? You know, worship is two things. Worship is vertical, right? We worship God. We worship a holy God, a heavenly God, a wonderful God. So worship is vertical, but worship is also horizontal. We don't often think of it like that. See, we tend to think that worship is passive. Worship is active and interactive. We are not supposed to just come and sit and listen and lead. We are coming here to worship vertically, and we are coming here to connect horizontally with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And see, we can't do that if we're not together in worship. We can't worship vertically and horizontally, which we're called to do, if we aren't here. You just can't do it. And we miss out on our faith growing to give us confidence and say, I am worthy to come into the presence of God. We miss out on being encouraged to say, I'm going to hold on to that hope of swerving with, no matter if the world around me is falling apart or my world is falling apart. I'm going to hold on to the hope of the gospel. And we miss out on love. We miss out on being loved, and we miss out on giving love. See, the third reason that we gather for worship, the scripture tells us this, so that we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. We're here to stir it up. We're here to spur one another on to something very specific, love and good deeds. And we cannot do that if we are not here. If you are not here, you cannot spur someone else on to love and good deeds. And if you are not here, you cannot be spurred on to love and to good deeds. We miss out on the fellowship that we have. That's the one thing people say they miss the most through the pandemic. I miss being with people. I miss worshiping with my church family. There's power when the people of God come together and encourage each other in the faith, the hope, and the love of the gospel of Jesus. The church is a place where you will find acceptance. The church is a place where you will be loved. The church is a place where you will find your purpose. And so what the author is saying here is don't give up meeting together because you miss out. You miss out on being strengthened and encouraged and spurred on. There's a study that I believe is 21 days. If you do something for 21 straight days, then it becomes a habit. If you go to the gym for 21 days, it's going to become a habit. If you come to church, I'm not saying you got to be here for 21 days, because I don't want anybody in a bar for 21 straight days. But if you say, I'm not going to miss Sunday, instead of building that week and seeing if you're free on Sunday, what if you started with Sunday, saying, this, I'm not compromising on this, and then build out your week? Then it becomes a habit. Then you say, well, I can't miss. Because I need to be strengthened in my faith. I have a week. And I don't even know if I'm worthy to come into the presence of God, let alone the presence of the bar. I need that hope because I'm losing hope when I look at the news today. And I need to be loved. And man, I think there's something God is telling me that I need to love. And you get that here when you are in worship. A lot of people try to say, well, I live by the golden rule. Love God and love others. And boy, the whole Bible out to one thing. There's never those people who say that are the ones that aren't in worship consistently. Because how can you love God if you don't come to worship Him? How can you love other people if you don't come to worship with them? So part of filling the great commandment to love God and to love others is to worship God and worship with others. Because we'll be spurred on to love and good deeds. There's so much encouragement that comes from worship. But the greatest of which is what the author ends with. He says, I need you to spur one another on to love and good deeds as the day of the Lord approaches. Jesus is coming back. Make no mistake, he's coming back. A lot of people don't believe that, but he is coming back. And he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. He's coming back to judge each and every one of us. So all those little things that we didn't think anybody saw, he saw. All those things we thought that we didn't think anybody else knew, we thought, he knows. He's coming to judge us. Now, he can judge us, or he can judge those of us who put our faith in Jesus, when we come into his presence, are holding on to the hope of Jesus, that we are forgiven as sinners, that we have been spurred on to love and good deeds, and we are doing that through worship and serving with our brothers and sisters. Look, Jesus is coming back, and he will judge each and every one of us. And that's just a fact. That's just what the Bible said. And if we don't believe that, then we have a real problem on our hands. And if we don't tell you that truth, if I don't tell you that truth, if we don't accept that truth, where are you going to hear that truth? And this may not be comfortable for some people here, and I'm sorry, not sorry. Because if we don't proclaim the truth that Jesus is coming back, you're not going to hear that on the golf course Sunday mornings. You're not going to hear that at the office on Sunday mornings. You're not going to hear that when you have brunch on Sunday mornings. You're not. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to upset anybody here. I'm just trying to do what God told me to do, alright? I'm just trying to tell you what God told me to say. And he's saying, we got to be together. We got to be together all the time. Because if you want to grow in your faith, you say, you know what, you're worthy. A lot of people live their life not thinking they're worthy. If you are worthy to come into the presence of God, I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what you're sinning in, neither does God. But when you put your faith in Jesus, not only do you get to come into God's presence, you can do so with confidence. You can say, you know what, I'm a mess before I'm God's mess. And because of Jesus, I get to come in. If you want hope, hope that is real, hope that will last, hope that you can hold on to in the midst of a storm, you're going to find it here. You're going to find it in the community of faith, and you're going to find it in the truth. We sing about hope. The songs that the worship team plays, and we're singing about the hope of where we place it. And if you're just holding on, make sure you're holding on to him. And then third, man, if you want to know what real love is, I'm not talking about the googly eyes that kids make. I'm talking about something that's even greater than marital love, greater than parent love, and greater than almost the greatest love there is, and that's a grandparent. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. There's no greater love than the love of Jesus. The world can't love us like Jesus loves. And Jesus loves us through one another. Jesus loves us through one another. And we miss that if we're not in worship. It's a privilege to be able to gather. There are people around the world who can't do what we did this morning. There are people around the world who have to sleep to get to other people to worship. There are people that they carry their Bibles around will be arrested in prison and maybe killed. What we do, what we have the privilege to do every single week is what other people have given their lives for. Just to gather and worship God. And we sometimes toss that away like it's not good enough. It's a privilege. I want to encourage you also, read verses 26 through 31, when you understand. Because the author talks about what happens when we don't gather for worship. Look, one of the goals that we've always had in the Three Timbers is simple. That you feel that you can draw near into the presence of God. Not because of us, but because of God. And I hope that you feel like I can draw near the presence of God, whether it's in a bar or a school or wherever it is that we meet. But I have confidence because I know Jesus and my faith has been strengthened. I pray that you hold on, that you know that there's real hope in life. That hope is in Jesus. It's not in religion. It's not in the world. It's in Jesus. And I hope and I pray that we continue to spur one another on in love and goodness. That's why we do the things that we do in the community. That's why we give each and every one of us an opportunity to say, I want to be involved. I want to help out with youth. I want to help out with kids. I want to be a part of Friday Night Flicks. I want to be on small group. I want to help out with all these things because we're trying to spur one another on to love human beings. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's why I hope that you're here. That's why we worship. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up with their song. I'm going to have three things to think about today. Number one, Because that's the only way we can truly come into the presence of God through our faith in Jesus. What do you hold on to during the storms of life? Hold on to Jesus. Find that hope, that unswerving hope in Jesus. And pray. Where do you find true encouragement? It's in the love of Jesus. And if you haven't picked up the theme by now, the author lays out faith, hope, and love. Powerful things that we have. Amen?